want to share a message from Psalm 34. In Psalm 139, the psalmist declares that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made. And when you look at the way God designed the human body and the way the human body all interacts together, it really is remarkable. Whether you're on the cellular level looking at those little protein-like machines, or on a bigger level, the systems, whether it be the digestive system, the nervous system, or cardiovascular system. One of the systems, if you will, or one of the parts of our body that I find amazing are our senses. Think about how God designed the body in such a way that inside of us, there's a lot going on, but outside of us, how do we get what's outside inside? God gave us senses that can perceive things. Sight and sound and hear our eyes and taste and touch. And these things allow us to interact with the external world and create sensations that then travel to the brain and then are interpreted. Well, one of those senses is taste. And I've entitled this morning's message, Taste Test. Now, I'm not going to ask you to do this, but on our tongue, there are taste buds, those little bumpy things. And inside there are taste receptors. Young people has 10,000 of them. But the more seasoned as a citizen you become, the less you have, because you can't replenish them as quickly. And those sense receptors are able, when you eat, they're creates, as you chew, and the saliva, everything creates a chemical reaction that triggers those the walls and the sensory receptors, which create a cascade, which eventually sends a message to your brain, to different parts of the brain, multiple parts of the brain. It sends it to the system that triggers emotion. It sends us to this part of the brain that has memory. It sends it to the part that encodes it. Which is why you could eat a food and all of a sudden you have a flood of emotion. You ever saw the movie Ratatouille, the little animated movie? When Ego, the critic, takes a bite of the ratatouille and all of a sudden he's back as a little kid. His bike was destroyed, he was crying, and his mom served him this food. That's what food has a way of doing. And it's not just your taste, you also need the nose and the sensors in the nose that the chemicals pick up. And so all of it together creates a sense of taste. I want to test that today. And I need three brave volunteers who do not have food allergies. There's one. There's two. There's three. Come on down. We'll grab you three. Come on down. Take a seat. We're going to use three young people. Now, what we're going to do, young people, is you're going to have a series of items that you're going to taste, okay? And try to identify what you're tasting, and on your table is a piece of paper with 10 numbers. So what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna hand you, let's see, we'll start with these three, okay? Now don't do anything with them yet. No, you're not gonna drink it. But what you are gonna do, giving you a Q-tip, all right? So what I'm going to ask you to do is I'm going to ask you to take the Q-tip, and you can just touch on your tongue if you need to, but then dip it in there and get just a couple of whatever is in there. Here, go like this. Just go, put it on your tongue, okay? And then take a little taste. And if you think you know what it is, don't say it. If you think you know what it is, write it down there under number one. There are no toxic chemicals. No people have been harmed in the production of this. Okay, this one you don't have to use a Q-tip for. You can take a sip of this one. Oh, you don't have to drink it, but go ahead and drink it. It's safe, if you'd like to. See if you can guess what it is. Don't say anything, but just write it down if you think you know. Okay, this one you use your Q-tip again. It's okay, you're the only one using it. I hope Letty's not taking pictures of this for the... I can just see all these shot glasses on the communion table on Facebook. This is good. Okay. Now, don't drink it all the way down, but just a sip, okay? Just a sip. Okay, this one you're going to dip, but I have another Q-tip for you, so you can start over with a new Q-tip, okay? Okay. go ahead and do that. Dip it. Dip the Q-tip. Taste it. Okay, now, it's obvious this is cheese, but you're going to have to try to figure out what kind of cheese. There are three pieces, which means each of you get one. So you can't just put cheese as an answer. Okay, don't guzzle this down. Just take a little bit. Okay. I have another type of cheese. Again, three pieces. Each one gets one. Okay? Okay, no helping each other either here, folks. We have two more tastes. This one you'll use the other end of the Q-tip. Okay? Just you use the Q-tip? No, you can't sniff it. Now you're cheating with that second sense. Salt is one of the five tastes. There's salt, salty, sweet, bitter, sour, and umami. You might have never heard of that one before. I did the research, but umami is a glutamate taste. And they think there might be two of us, but they're not sure. All right, so salt, you were correct. Did all of you put salt? You're all correct. Number two, what was it? Ginger ale. Do you all got ginger ale? Okay, you're correct. Number three. Nutmeg. You picked that up. I'm impressed. Good job. That's correct. Number four, maple syrup. They are correct. Next. It's maple syrup. Yep. The good stuff.
Test.
Number five, sugar. Number six, nope. Just cheddar. It was cheddar. Cheddar cheese. Number seven, what was it? Honey. You are correct. Honey. He put soap. I did clean him out, but no. Number eight, what did you get for eight? Oh, come on. Mozzarella. Mozzarella trees. Amelia would love that one. Number nine. Cinnamon. And lastly, number 10. What was it? Sparkling grape juice. You both are correct. It was sparkling white grape juice. Yep. All right. How about a round of applause for our volunteers? Thank you. Now, if I were regularly preaching, I would have used that as a verbal illustration, but you had a chance to see it in person and live. And so what they did is they used the power of taste that God had given them to be able to discern. I think they got probably about 8 out of 10 correct. They got a little confused on the cheeses. But the ability for physical taste is something God created us to have, but he also created us with the capacity for spiritual taste. Take a look at Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man, or blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. God has created us with a spiritual capacity. He uses here an analogy or a figure of speech, but he says to us, taste, check God out. Now, these three volunteers tasted. They stepped out and tasted the different flavors to see if they could discern. God wants us to taste and see that he is good. And in this psalm, the psalmist lays out for us, David lays out for us a number of ways that we can taste and find that God is good. The first one is that that God is good. He shows his goodness in that he delivers us from all our fears. Take a look at verse 4. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Ever since the fall of Adam and Eve, fear has been part of the human condition. When Adam and Eve fell and God came looking for them and said, "Where are you, Adam?" Adam says, he was hiding. He said, "Because I was afraid. Because I was naked. I was afraid. I was exposed." And the fear of rejection, the fear of failure, the fear of punishment, the fear of the unknown, fear of the future, even the fear of dying for some people. These fears can grip people's hearts and lives. These fears can cripple people, because what will happen is that you'll have an exposure to something that will trigger within your body a response, an adrenaline response, and that memory will get encoded with that feeling, and you will begin to have not only the state of fear, you will develop the trait of fear. It will become part of you. You won't even have to try to be afraid anymore. Maybe it is a trauma that took place. Maybe there was a bad experience. Maybe there was something harmful. But whatever happened, there got a triggered a fear response inside you. And if it lies inside you and got a hold of you, it will begin to affect your thinking. It will affect the way you're wiring, so that when you get exposed to a similar situation without even consciously being aware of it, your body will remember the fear and your body will begin to go back into that place. That's why people will get a knot in their stomach when they face a situation. Maybe they're afraid they're going to fail. They'll feel the knot come. Or maybe they sense the body language of someone around them that they're going to reject them, and they feel that knot. They don't say to themselves, I think I should have a knot in my stomach right now. Okay, I have one. It's like a reflex. So what happens is the fear becomes so much a part of them, it's almost like it gets woven into their emotional DNA and becomes part of them. But let me tell you about my Jesus. He can deliver you from all your fears. Jesus can step in and deliver you from that fear. He doesn't just take away the symptom. He gets at the source of that fear. And he's able to speak hope and healing and wholeness into that fear, so that you fear no one but honor him. So you're not afraid of rejection, because your identity isn't rooted in people's approval. You're not afraid of failure, because your worth isn't dependent upon your performance. You're not afraid of punishment, because Jesus bore the pain of your punishment. You're not afraid of the future, because he holds the future in his hands. He delivers you of your fears. That's what my Jesus can do. Taste and see that the Lord is good. God does not want his people bound with a spirit of fear. God did not give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, a sound mind of self-control. God can set you free. I've watched the Lord do it again and again, where he steps in and you see people try not to be afraid. I know in my own pilgrimage, you know, okay, I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to be afraid. Okay, my body is freaking out right now, but I'm not going to be afraid. And it's almost like you're trying to fill in a pothole. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. But if you've got potholes, you got problems underneath. If you've got potholes, you've got entrenched patterns of thought, attitude, value, and behavior deep inside. And no amount of surface solutions are going to solve the problem. But God goes in and he delivers us of our fears. He breaks the bondage of that fear and sets us free. He does a supernatural work. I think it was just the sound system, but... Thank you. Hopefully it's positive, though. So, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you are here this morning, I can tell you this with assurance, God wants you free of the bondage of fear. God wants to set you free. But not only is that the way he displays his goodness, take a look at verse 5. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. There's a second thing that God does to reveal his goodness or display his goodness, is he delivers us. He releases us from all our shame. When Adam and Eve fell, now let me clarify. There's a difference between biblical shame and toxic shame. When we sin against the Lord and are convicted and feel shamed, that's not a bad thing. Because that shows us that we get it. We dishonor the Lord, and it's to bring us to the altar, to bring us to a place of repentance at the cross. That kind of shame is good. When we find people that feel no shame when they do something wrong, when they don't blush, when they do, we go, oh, something's wrong with them. Biblical shame is good. The problem, though, is when biblical shame, which is healthy, changes and becomes toxic shame, which is unhealthy. Toxic shame looks at us and sees us as unacceptable. Toxic shame looks at us and says, not only do I do bad things, I am rotten to the core. There is nothing acceptable, nothing that anyone would want of me, nothing. And that kind of shame is dangerous. Because that toxic kind of shame will cause us to do a lot of crazy things to deal with it. The first thing we try to do is we look for fig leaves. We don't let anybody get close. We don't let anyone get inside our bubble, because if they see us for who we really are, emotionally naked, they'll reject us. So we keep people at arm's length. But if for some reason they happen to get in too close to us and they find our shame and we feel that shame rise, then what we do is, instead of hiding, we start hurling. We start blaming. We start attacking. We feel rage come up to cover our shame, and we attack the one who's caused us to have the shame. We go after them, because we think if we can shut them up, if we can get them to stop doing that, we won't feel shame anymore. Those solutions don't work. And in the worst case scenario, when someone can't deal with the shame, they decide to numb it. And that's when they begin to develop addictive behaviors. What does it take not to feel this? But let me again tell you about my Jesus. My Jesus can release you from shame. Because the Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In fact, in Psalm 34, at the end of the chapter, verse 22, the Lord redeems his servants. No one will be condemned who takes refuge in him. Book of Revelation, chapter 12, talks about the accuser of the brethren. The one who will accuse you before the Father. The one who will come after you. The one who will beat you up when you blow it. The one who will try to put toxic shame on you instead of the Holy Spirit's biblical healthy shame. And when he comes in like that, then you and I stand and we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Not loving our lives unto death. You see, my Jesus is good, and he will release you from all shame. We even sing a song about that. He's released me from shame. So my good God not only delivers us from all our fears, he also releases us from all our shame. But the psalmist isn't done. Take a look at verse 6. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. One of the blessings that we have as Christians is that we have the Lord who saves us. He saves us from all of our troubles. Now, Pastor A, are you saying now that I'm a Christian, I won't have troubles? I didn't say that. How many of you have ever had a year of trouble-free living? How many have had a month of trouble-free living? Not one trial, not one challenge, not one difficulty, not one hardship. Yeah, right. Maybe I should preach on lying. Honesty. See, the thing is, in fact, take a look over, it says in verse 19, a righteous man may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers him from them all. Just because you and I know Jesus doesn't mean we skate free, trouble-free, to heaven. We're going to have some troubles. We live in a fallen world. And in a fallen world, you're going to have troubles. Troubles that you sometimes make for yourselves by very poor choices, and some that other people made whose choices affect you. And you're going to have troubles. In fact, I'm going to go so far as to say there are times God allows troubles in your lives because you need them. Why? Because those troubles reveal our needs, and those needs drive us to our knees. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1 that he faced a very challenging situation in Asia. He said it was so great that we despaired even of life. We wanted to die. But we had this sentence of death in ourselves that we might not learn to trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. God will allow trials if the purpose is to grow you up in Jesus. James tells me that I'm to count it pure joy when I face trials of many kinds, because I know that the testing of my faith develops perseverance. I'm to let perseverance finish its work so that I can be mature. Without trials, we're not going to grow up. Without challenges, we're not going to overcome and grow up. So when the scripture says the Lord saves me from all my troubles or the Lord delivers me from my troubles, it doesn't mean that he doesn't allow them, but it means he works in them and through them to accomplish his purposes so that the troubles do not destroy me, they develop me. God works through those trials, works through those troubles to make me look like Jesus when he's done. Because you see, my Jesus is good. My Jesus is good, which means I face my day not with, oh, what trial's going to come today. Oh, Lord, what to, oh, nobody knows the troubles I've seen. No, I face the day saying, Lord, whatever trial or trouble you allow, by your sovereign grace, it will be used for good in my life because I have tasted and seen you are good and your mercy endures forever. And not only that, take a look at verse 18. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and save those crushed in spirit. Even if you do have to go through one of those trials, the Lord is close. The Lord walks with you through those trials. He is close to the brokenhearted and saves those crushed in spirit. But we're not done. Take a look at verse 7. Not only does the Lord deliver us from our fears, not only does he release us from our shame, not only does he save us out of our troubles, he also protects us from our enemies. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Verse 21, evil will slay the wicked, the foes of the righteous will be condemned. One of the things that my father used to say to me, he said, son, he had been in business for himself for many, many years. He said, son, I've lived long enough to know that if someone does you dirt, you don't do dirt back. You let God work it out. And God does. It may not be today. It may not be tomorrow. It may not be next week. But there comes a point in which the righteous will shine. There comes a point in which evil will be vanquished. Why? Because the Lord protects us from our enemies. The Lord protects us from our enemies. And the last one, if you move down to verse 9, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Not only does my Jesus deliver me from my fears, not only does he release me from my shame, not only does he save me from my troubles, not only does he protect me from my enemies, he provides for me in all of my need. The Apostle Paul said that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be the wealthiest person on planet Earth. Doesn't mean that I'm going to have a mansion here. But it does mean that he'll meet my needs. Sometimes supernaturally, sometimes through the body of Christ, sometimes through plain hard work. But the Lord does provide and supply our needs. Now a week from now, next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, we're privileged to have Pastor Tony Kemp joining with us for healing services. My wife and I had a chance to go up there this weekend. He was in Albany. He'll be with us for Friday night at 6:30, Saturday morning at 10 a.m., Saturday night at 6:30, and Sunday morning at 10. And God's going to do ministry. God uses him in ministry, and I'm excited that he's here. But let me tell you this. It isn't Tony Kemp that we're supposed to taste and see that's good. I'm glad he's a vessel of the Lord, and I'm expecting in faith to see God do some healings and miracles in our church. But I taste and see that the Lord is good. And I don't have to wait till Friday, Saturday, Sunday for the healer to come in to be touched. I'm going to have the worship team join me back up at the front. We're going to go to the table of the Lord. I want you today to taste and see that the Lord is good. I want you to take the bread and let it remind you, the physical bread that you will taste with your mouth, let it speak to you the spiritual taste of the bread of life. And as you take of this cup and you drink that cup, may it remind you that Jesus died, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Taste physically, but go beyond tasting physically and do a taste test spiritually. And you will discover, as the psalmist said in verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. You will find out that he will deliver you of your fears, release you of your shame, save you from your troubles, protect you from your enemies. I don't know if you have a need today for deliverance from release from shame, salvation from troubles, protection from your enemies, or provision of your need. But my Jesus, he's good. Lord, thank you for the bread and the cup that take us back to what Jesus did on our behalf. I thank you that we can taste and see that the Lord is good. And I pray that all that you intended of this meal we would receive by faith. For we ask this in the name of Jesus, your Son, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Amen. He took our infirmities and bare our... By his stripes we're healed, church.